Hello and welcome everyone back to episode 24 of There Can Only Be One. I'm Liam, again joined by Jeremy, and today joined by special guest Pro Tour competitor Noel Robin.
Day 2 competitor.
Right, yes, he successfully made Day 2.
How's it going, team?
Noel is a well-known Highlander and Magic player extraordinaire from the Victoria community, one of a couple of Highlander players who have qualified for the PT, but he was the one who did it most recently. So yeah, he went 7-9.
I did, yeah, at Nashville.
At PT Nashville.
Yeah.
Played Bardu, was wrong to do so.
Yeah, I got killed by Marvel a bunch. Thank God Marvel's not in this format.
Yeah.
You just get stormed out instead, but it's okay.
But
yeah,
today...
Much more fun.
Today, we're going to talk about how to not get stormed out instead. So today we're talking about beating the best deck, or beating the deck to beat. So what we're working with here is a bit of an assumption. We're working with the assumption that you have figured out the metagame in your community, and you've decided that there is a deck that a lot of people are playing, and you want to beat that deck. And what we want to do is break down how to do that, because there are some like very obvious, sort of simple things that you can do, like, oh, wow, the best deck is playing a lot of burn spells. Maybe I should try to gain life. And that's the really simple way to look at it, but you can go a lot more in depth and you can think about it in a lot more interesting ways. And this is something that Jeremy and Noel are much better at than I am, so you're going to hear me talking a lot less and asking more questions, because I usually just play whatever the heck I want. I don't really pay attention to the metagame as much as these two do. So when we're talking about beating the best deck, there's sort of two different ways that you can go about doing it. One is playing hate cards. So Jeremy, why don't you talk to us about hate cards in Highlander, how that works in 100 card singleton format, what you're really doing, and the difference between some hate cards and some cards that are just unplayable.
So what you want to do when you're playing some cards designed to beat a certain deck is you want to make sure that when you draw them, you actually beat that deck. So like a card that is a good example is like Core Firewalker is very, very good at beating red decks, be it goblins or burn. It's very, very hard for them to beat that card. However, like there are certain cards you can play, like Thrun is another hate card that is good against blue decks, but it doesn't always win you the game. It's good at it, but
it's just good on its own as well too.
Yeah, so that's another thing you want to look at is this card like somewhat functionable on its own. Like Core Firewalker in the matchups where it's not good is a 2/2 for 2, which like certainly isn't ideal, but you know, it helps push along your game plan of play creatures and get them dead. An example of cards that probably shouldn't get in your deck are cards like Extract.
No.
Yeah, Liam just acquired a French foil.
I played Mindbreak Trap once to try and beat Storm. It was not great.
Yeah, I remember that. In the old three-man playoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cards like Mindbreak Trap, Extract, probably not good enough on their own, and don't even necessarily win you the game when you cast them in the matchups they're supposed to be in. Like, Extract is good against some combo decks, but not even good against all combo decks. A bunch of combo decks have multiple avenues to victory.
Yeah.
And Mindbreak Trap, while good against Storm, they have lots of ways that actually just shut off counter spells, like City of Solitude, Defense Grid, Silences. So they're just playing against any number of counter spells, even if your counter spell is free and exile stuff, which is makes it better than most other ones.
Yeah. Generally, a card like Pithing Needle is something that's like really flexible, and it's rarely bad, so like stuff along that lines is...
Yeah, you want cards that are applicable in multiple matchups, and if you're trying to target one matchup, you want to make sure the card functions outside of that matchup, because at least in our meta, Highlander is a very diverse format, and even if a bunch of people are playing, say, Burn or Hoof or Jeskai, that's certainly not all you're going to face all night. So you can't have a bunch of cards that are only good in that matchup.
And this is why it's important to have maybe a little bit more of a nuanced approach to beating the best deck, rather than just saying, oh, Burn's the best deck, time to play my Chill Core Firewalker deck.
Yeah.
Like, it turns out if you play against a non-red deck with Chill in your deck, I mean, you just have a three-mana literal do-nothing. So a couple of hate cards that you guys mentioned that are pretty good are things like Core Firewalker. Noel, you mentioned Pithing Needle. I'm wondering if you have maybe a couple other examples of cards that are maybe a slightly more polarized, because those, like cards maybe along the lines of Core Firewalker, because Pithing Needle is good, but it's good against everything in many ways.
Yeah.
Do you have more...
Another example of cards I've seen people play that sometimes are good but are more polarized are the Red Blast effects, like Pyroblast and Red
right.
Blast.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often there's a lot of blue decks in the room, but those cards do next to nothing if you're not playing against
the blue deck. Seed Time, honorable mention.
Yeah, recently I played Seed Time. That's another similar thing where like the card doesn't really function outside of certain matchups.
But it's very, very good when you do get to cast it.
Yeah, well, they'll often win you the game when you do get to cast them. Pyroblast and Red Blast are even more polarizing in that they like will not win you the game even if you get to cast them most of the time. But
unless,
they can
of
often,
course, your opponent is playing High Tide and you're paying big red.
Yeah, they can often catch your opponent unawares, so to speak, so you can get them. Possibly the most told story on this podcast is the time when I beat Liam. Was it the first time we were playing?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
First time we ever played, I was playing Big Red and he was playing High Tide. And I sit down and I'm like, well, this matchup's nigh unwinnable.
So you will eat him right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. And then
guaranteed win.
In game one, he's going off, or it's the turn he's going to go off because I have lethal set up for next turn. And he goes, High Tide. And I'm like, Pyroblast it. And he's like,
and then I drew Mental Misstep the next turn.
Yeah.
That's the part of the story that doesn't get told as often, but
yeah.
The tilting part. Noel, you also destroyed me in a relatively savage fashion in one of the first times we played with a card that you also destroyed me with in Standard, which I think is a good example of maybe like a hate card that hedges as well.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't call it a hate card. I think it's just a good card all around. It's Dromoka's Command. Liam really does not like that card being cast against him. And, I think we were playing a game, and he was playing a cool Blink deck. And he had played Sylvan Library and Fauna Shaman on his turn, passed back to me, and I drew Dromoka's Command. And I wiped both those, which obviously is backbreaking, and I won the match. But also that card applies against Burn, for example. It's very good against that. Good against Enchantress, but that's less important. But
And even just being able to, like, fight a creature, make them sacrifice their Courser of Kruphix comes up more than you'd think, or even just growing your creature and using it as a straight removal spell.
But that card, anyone who played Standard knows the power level of that card, and it's not like a hidden secret or anything like that.
No, but I think it's interesting. I don't think it gets played as much as you would maybe expect
maybe,
it to,
yeah.
Because
that's
I think
true.
A lot of the times it feels a little low impact, but...
And I think this is true for a lot of the commands, actually, like...
Yeah.
Even Kolaghan's Command probably doesn't get played as much as it should. I think that card should be in virtually every red and black deck.
Yeah.
And cards like Golgari Charm and Azorius Charm have a lot of utility. Like I've played Azorius Charm to great effect, and I think the most undervalued mode is the giving all your creatures lifelink mode.
Yeah.
Because whenever you're racing, just being able to, like, if you're playing Bant or Jeskai or Esper, you often have creatures that put out a lot of damage, like Monastery Mentor or Geist
of
Saint
Traft
or the dragons out of Jeskai.
Yeah.
And like being able to give your creatures lifelink, swing in, your opponent's like, huh, what's up with this attack? Whatever, I'll make some blocks, and then you give your creatures lifelink, can easily turn the tide of a game.
That one's a free roll though, it cycles.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of the charms don't.
And,
so like,
and also
one's...
topping an attacking creature or blocking creature is often really, really good as well.
Yeah,
and I mean, the fact that it is a free roll is part of what makes it good, too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's, like, you want your hate cards to be not just...
And exactly, it's...
Super polarized hate cards. You want them to have other utility, potentially.
And that's part of what I think we're trying to get at, is in Highlander, which is a 100-card singleton, and the meta's highly varied, you can't afford to play cards like Extract. There's no sideboards. You can't always play, like, the super high-impact...
Mm-hmm.
Hate cards in every deck where you don't have
no Jester's Cap.
Exactly.
Well, for most people, no Jester's Cap. I haven't played that one yet, and I've seen other people do it.
Die trying.
So you want to try to make your hate cards like as widely applicable as you can, and play like maybe the cards that are slightly lower power level but have higher utility some of the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So hate cards are important, but what about the situations in which hate cards are not enough on their own? So we look at the metagame in Highlander sometimes, and what you'll see is that either some kind of like mid-range blue deck is really popular, or maybe some particular control strategy is really popular. Right now, for instance, both Jeskai and Blue Moon have both very powerful, popular strategies. Those aren't really decks that you can just put three or four cards into your deck to kind of tech to beat those cards, as much as you maybe want to approach the format a little differently. You want to play a different deck, right?
Yeah, so what you want to do is certain archetypes, just by the construction of their decks, have bad matchups. Like, Jeskai is just a pile of good cards. It has counterspells, good one-for-one, and sometimes two-for-one removal, good, powerful, efficient threats. So what you want to do to beat that deck is you can't really play, as Liam said, you can't really play three or four cards that are just good, because they just play good cards. You can't really meta against
Oversoul of Dusk.
A pile of good cards.
Texas.
They still have swords and like white removal and white creatures.
Thrun's usually the best one.
Yeah, so the way I've found most successful to beat these decks is to play decks that just are good against their cards. So you play like go wide strategies like Hoof. Goblins often is all right, although the removal in Jeskai is often and creatures enough to stave off goblins. But Hoof is generally good against Jeskai. Big mana strategies are often good against Jeskai because they don't have quite enough counter spells to counter all the big threats, and you can often
their burn's not really that useful.
Get off a time spiral. Yeah, their removal spells aren't very good. So like ramp decks, go wide decks, go wide creature decks are all right, I think, but maybe not quite as good as they used to be.
Even combo decks are fine too, right? I think one of the things, for a while people thought Jeskai was just the best deck, and Jeremy, I remember you were telling me that people were actually just playing super afraid against them. They'd pass with four mana open, and actually their hand would be like removal spell
like
land.
Factor Fiction or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and like a draw spell, and they actually wouldn't have any way to interact with your combo, or like whatever you might have been doing, but people would just like be afraid and not just jam the stuff they had.
Yeah, the deck only plays eight or so counter spells, which isn't actually very many.
No, it's like half the number.
They just always have it.
It does sometimes feel that way. But so I think that's important too, is that you've got to be willing to make those kinds of choices in your deck building and maybe like really specifically look at the lists, because when you think about a blue-based mid-range deck being popular, you might think, well, this deck's probably playing a bunch of counter spells, trying to jam a combo against it is maybe not that good, though it actually turns out that that's fine, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, Flash Hulk preyed on Jeskai for quite a while.
Oh, yeah, that matchup's not good.
Because they just would play one or two discard spells, and if you discarded Jeskai once, you'd either see that their hand was bare, or you'd get their one piece of interaction, and then you could kill them.
Yeah.
Black's a good color at disrupting.
And Blue Moon's a sort of similar thing. Blue Moon was really popular, and that's sort of the advent of when I built this green-white deck that we talked about last time.
Mm, yes.
My plan was to go under their counter spells, play some uncounterable threats, and then that deck in particular is really, really weak to Armageddons. And also, I wasn't playing very many non-basics, so their Moon and back-to-basics effects weren't very good against me.
Right, Jer 5-0'd that tournament, by the way, the one that we went to shortly after we recorded the podcast.
Yeah, I added that in the
yeah,
in
I
the
saw
notes.
But
green white
we
big
can
kid
mention it as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so you can certainly make choices in deck building that put you in good stead to beat certain decks.
Mm-hmm.
Just by choosing what archetype you play, keeping that in mind, and then individual card choices as well. Just like you want to. To beat some decks, you need to sort of pick the overarching archetype,
yeah.
And some decks you want to make some individual card choices. And so when you put both of those things together, you can often beat a bunch of the popular decks.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about a bunch of the sort of quote-unquote popular decks now. And what we're going to do in this section is we're going to talk about sort of both options. So for each deck, we're going to talk about powerful hate cards against those decks, and maybe cards that you might want to be trying to slip into your deck. And then we will also talk about just decks that you can play that are maybe going to be better against this. If this particular deck is popular, that the deck you might choose might be better against them than the average deck. So, Noel, you have a fair amount of experience beating Burn.
yeah, I went on a bit of a tear last season.
So, why don't you talk to us about things that you think are good against Burn, both cards and maybe decks entirely?
Well, obviously any creature that says gain life will be good against Burn. The most commonly played one's Kitchen Finks, just because it's a good creature on its own, and its mana cost allows you to play it in a bunch of different decks. Like, Blue-White Control plays it, and then, you know, aggro decks play it. So that's kind of usually the starting basis, is having a Kitchen Finks. And then, depending on what other colors you're playing, like, I know I was playing against Burn every week, and it was a tight match when I was playing Bant Tempo, and every week I'd slide in one more card, just because I was really afraid. And then, you know, by week 5, I had a Rock Swarm Monk with sort of Feast and Famine on it, and I was never losing to Burn. Yeah. But
that one's so, quite good.
So that's kind of how that went for me. Thalia's, like, pretty good against Burn. Thalia's one of the best hate cards in the format, I think, if you're playing white. Just the 2-mana Thalia. Just because the first strike blocks all their creatures and making all their spells cost one more slows them down.
It sort of makes her difficult to remove, because they want to be super efficient, and killing a 2-1 isn't necessarily what they want to be doing with their removal
spells. So it's not like a hate card that is geared to beat Burn, but it's definitely applies in that matchup. It's a good one to have.
All right, and Jer, give us a deck. What's the hot deck you should play if you want to beat Burn?
I think the classic I want to beat Burn deck is White Weenie. That's sort of the deck I go to when I think Burn is on the rise. You have a lot of first strike creatures, which, as Noel mentioned, Brick Walls pretty much all of their creatures, because they often have high power, low toughness creatures. So it's really, really hard for them to get by. You have some, like, slam dunk cards like Jite and Core Firewalker, which are, if they resolve and get online, are virtually impossible for Burn to beat.
It's Silver Knight that has Pro Red. Seen that one cast before.
And then you have some random ways to gain life too, like Knight of Meadowgrain, Seeker of the Way.
It's that new guy that's going to see a lot of play, I think. The Glorybound Initiate.
Yeah, that card's really good. So you just have a lot of incidental life gain. You're also very low to the ground, so you can often, like, sort of match them. They can often get under a bunch of decks by, like, just, like, playing a one drop and then playing lots of cheap removal spells, but you can often, like, play as many cheap guys as they have cheap removal spells and sort of trade off, not let them get ahead. So,
and when you play, like, so when you might play, like, a White Mini deck against Burn, for instance, do you, like, actually tech the deck out to beat Burn, or do you just kind of build, like, do you think the sort of stock White Mini list is already pretty good? Like, a card that I think of is, like, a card like Paladin and Vec. Like, do you need to be playing cards like that, or, like, can you just sort of play
You've got, like, some flex slots, then you can kind of, like, tweak what hate creatures you want.
Yeah, but, like, I think, like, cards like Knight of Metagrain, Jite, will get in virtually every version. Core Firewalker gets in most of my versions, just because I have a healthy respect for Burn and Goblins, so...
Even against, like, any deck that's leaning on Volt.
Even against Jeskai, it's, like, reasonable. Against Blue Moon, it's reasonable, because it'll survive all their wraths. They virtually can't remove it short of blocking, so...
Yeah.
It's passable in a bunch of matchups.
One thing I've noticed across both of your answers is that neither of you seem to be wanting to play black cards if you're interested in beating Burn. Do you think that's actually a problem?
The closest thing would be, like, the Rock, I'd say. Like, that deck, I think, has a very favorable Burn matchup, depending on how you...
I think sort of, like, the older Allison version is much better than the newer Planeswalker heavy one. Like, I'd certainly rather be on, like, the recurring Nightmare Thragtusk plan than the...
Well, that's the one you played, right? You won Cycles Event playing a deck a lot like that?
Yeah, it was kind of a cross of the two. Played a lot of creatures. I was playing a little more cheap removal, a little lower to the ground.
Yeah. Because, like, cards like Gaze of Granite against Burn are maybe, like, a little too slow. Crime Punishment, a little too slow.
Yeah.
Just, like, not quite gonna sweep the creatures fast enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
Even, we're just talking about Burn, but even decks like Gruul Aggro, for example, I lump into the same category. I think Gruul, like, it's just the same deck, but has better creatures. But
yeah,
it's a little less explosive.
Less Burn spells,
yeah.
A little
so
higher power
kind
level.
Of similar idea.
Yeah.
All right, and here's the last hot question I have. If you're a Burn player, you only have Burn, you know the meta is full of Burn, what's the hot mirror-breaking tech?
Just draw a lot of Burn spells.
It's a tough matchup to potentially meta for as the Burn deck, right?
You just draw Price of Progress a bunch.
I was going to say, if you're meting for the mirror, like, cards like Sylphuric Vortex, Flame Rift, Price are actually not good. Often your best cards in other matchups.
Yeah.
So, like, I think just aggressively mulliganing for good good starts is more important. I've both won and lost burn mirrors by, like, my opponent having Sulfuric Vortex or me getting stranded with Price of Progress or Flame Rift on the draw and, like, just it doing nothing constructive for me.
Yeah, perfect.
I've personally not played burn much at all. I'm more in the Gruul aggro camp, but that's no surprise if you know me.
Yeah. Okay, so the next deck we're going to talk about metaing against is Storm. This was sort of the scourge of the format for a lot of the time that I was away, and I guess shortly before I left as well. So, hate cards against Storm. I actually sort of famously defended Storm as not being too powerful and wrote a list of 10 hate cards in each color that you could play, but... I'd love to hear you guys give your opinions.
This is definitely the deck I think about the most when I'm building my decks. It's like one of the probably the most polarizing deck where your answers to it have to be so specific and they don't really overlap to other decks. So when I'm building a deck, this is the one where I think, you know, are my cards going to line up against Storm? If I'm trying to meta against it. Like I played 4-color pod last week and all I had was Scavenging Ooze and that was pretty much it. And I lost a Storm.
Yeah. I think there are a bunch of cards that overlap. Like Thalia, as you said earlier, applies to a bunch of matchups. Aven Mind Sensor, they virtually can't beat if it's in play.
Gaddock Teague, if you're in green one.
Gaddock Teague
fan
is
favorite.
Nuts. Scavenging Ooze is very good because they virtually always have to use the graveyard.
Deathrite sees a lot of play. Kind of splash aids.
Deathrite's really good. Spirit of the Labyrinth is often very good, especially if you can cast it early. Can stop them cantripping a bunch.
Yeah.
So there are a bunch of cards that are quite good in the matchups. Like Hand Attack is typically better than counter spells. I don't know if it's that's that intuitive, just because it's harder for them to meta against. Lots of Storm decks play Silences and City of Solitude and Defense Grid and. Those cards are very good against counter spells, but do nothing against discard. And often, a lot of their tutors are sorcery speed, and they'll spend an entire turn tutoring for a card, and then if you can save your discard for after they've tutored, it can be very backbreaking to them. Like, they'll often play transmute spells, where they'll spend their turn two or three transmuting a card, and then if you save your... I found... a lot of success saving discard for after they've done that.
Yep.
And discarding whatever they transmute.
And my reaction to when Storm was in its heyday was I built Sultai Tempo. Because that deck, it kind of combines the three elements you need to beat that deck. You need a clock, you need a little bit of disruption and some counter magic. Or like Hand Attack and counter magic. And I did not lose to Storm with that deck, but of course, playing that, I got overran by like Crater Hoof decks or... you know,
yeah,
decks that can go bigger.
And I mean, that's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Like you're never going to build the perfect deck just because you just don't know what you're going to get paired against.
Yeah.
But you can try and make a...
But that was
the
most advantaged I've ever felt against a Storm deck was when I was playing that.
That deck is certainly very, very favored versus Storm.
Yeah, I would say so. I think the Grixis, like, almost burn deck, tempo deck, is, like, pretty good against them as well.
As Noel said, any version that has both Hand Attack and counter spells is certainly in a good stead. Also, like, any deck that has, like, a very fast clock and a little bit of disruption is often very favored. Like, any, like, Eidolon of Rhetoric or Eidolon of the Great Rebel aggro deck.
Although, Eidolon of Rhetoric, also pretty good.
Sure, a little less applicable across other matchups than Great Rebel, but...
1/4 blocks all day.
it's not the worst, it's playable.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Goblins has killed Storm before, right? Like, they can just erase them.
Bost has beat it with red-green aggro.
Yeah.
It's,
I don't know how, I can...
It's certainly raceable, especially especially now that there's a version that's relying more on draw sevens. I think it's more interactable, it's, like, more fragile. Because you can cards like Notion Thief and Spirit of the Labyrinth...
Cool.
Yeah.
Will Leovold will, like,
yeah,
help you in
even like
in
other
that
Swarm
well.
Canonist. I don't know if too many people are playing that right
yeah.
now, but that one can see some.
Canonist is also very playable. There are lots of cards that, like, are very hard for them to beat.
So I want to
Phyrexian Revoker is another really good
good
card that virtually any deck can play.
So I want to expand a little farther than Storm even, and also talk about the other sort of enemy number one that's existed from the combo perspective, which is Flash Hulk. Do you think that most of the cards that you've just talked about have Splash 8 in that matchup, or are there different cards that you need for different sort of types of very all-in combo decks?
I think what Noel said about Storm is actually more applicable to Flash Hulk. I think you need very, very specific answers to Flash Hulk.
Yeah, that one's tricky, because you can... They have a couple angles to victory, so you can have, like, your Scavenging Ooze with mana up, and this happened to me, and he sacks his Hulk, then he got Painter Servant, Trinker and Mage, grab Grindstone, kill you. And I was definitely, like, I was like, how do I beat this? Like, I can't have answers for both of these things. Like,
yeah, it's super it's hard. So you, against that deck, yeah, having graveyard interaction is sort of step one. It slows them down, but then you need a removal spell or an artifact removal spell to shut them off. But the thing is about Flash Hulk is if you can get one of the pieces out of their hand, it's very, very difficult for them to win. So this is where like cards like Tide Hollow Sculler and Hand Attack really come into play, because they have to assemble Flash and Hulk in their hand to win. And this deck, even more so than Storm, will spend its earlier turns tutoring.
Yeah.
So like if you have any way to attack their hand, it's
Containment Priest is a spicy one for this matchup.
Containment Priest is, yeah, unbeatable for them.
I also wanted to play Transgress the Mind for this matchup, just to Transgress Hulk. But
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
There are a bunch of...
It's like Appetite for Brains, is that
the Yeah, that's
same
the single
line?
Black
yeah.
one, but it's like worse against the field.
Tide Hollow Sculler, Castigate. A lot of these cards can actually like goozle combo decks.
Oh, holy heck, I hadn't thought about Castigate.
Some percentage of the time. And
Resolve.
I've actually played a bunch of these cards. Like in the black white deck I did well with earlier on in the year, I was playing Castigate for that reason. Like often exiling a card is
super relevant, yeah.
Pretty relevant in a lot of matchups. Like, and even if not just to help fuel their delve, like just get it out of the way and you're not helping them later when they cast their delve spell.
Okay. So Noel, you already sort of answered this question, but if you're playing against Flash Hulk or Storm, you want to be playing Sultai Tempo, right?
That's a very good deck. Also a deck that I think is a good starting point if you're getting into the format, because it's pretty inexpensive, is just Green-White Hate Bears. I've seen a lot of people play that deck, and a lot of the creatures we're talking about are in that deck.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just randomly hose your opponent's deck while still beating down with serviceable creatures. So I think that's like not a bad choice.
Yeah, I think even Black-White Hate Bears, that's one of my go-tos in combo-heavy metas, is because you have access to a lot of the same Hate Bears, but you also have Hand Attack, which I think is a little better in the fair matchups. You can
spells too.
Yeah, you can duress like Wrath of Gods out of control, you can Thoughtseize mid-range decks and sometimes get their fast start out of the way or get their first removal spell out of the way, and you still have access to a lot of the same sort of hate creatures.
Yeah.
Yep. Alright, and then the last question, I'm doing it every time. If you're playing Flash Hulk or Storm, you want to beat the mirror, what's the hot mirror-breaking tech? Is it Extract? Tell me it's Extract. You have all the tutors. grab it.
I think silences are very good in the mirrors. Especially the Storm mirror. I'm not sure what the hot mirror tech for Flash Hulk is. Maybe it's like Split Decision or like Twin Cast. Like, You twin cast their Flash,
okay.
Put your own Hulk in, and with their Flash on the stack.
That's going deep.
It's pretty sick. Well, I know we've joked about this a bunch, that playing Quicken Tendrils is the way you beat the Storm Mirror, and that I don't know that anyone's actually ever done it.
I've never seen it done.
All right, I have a new job. Just need to wait for Storm to get more popular again.
The only better thing than winning is winning in instant speed.
Yeah.
When your opponent's about to win. With your opponent's win on the stack.
Yeah, with your opponent's win condition on the stack.
Harkens me back to playing Solidarity in Legacy. That's reset high tide, where you can literally only win on their turn, and you often just wait for them to have some sort of lethal presented, and then you're like, alright, I guess I'll win now.
I guess I have to win now. Okay, so now changing pace again, we've gone from aggro to combo. Now we're kind of going to more mid-range. So this is the deck that I know a lot of people talk about as being sort of the boogeyman, and I know right when, at the start of this current Highlander season, this deck was really popular, right? This deck won a bunch of tournaments. This is, of course, Jeskai mid-range, and so this is a deck that started off with not that many pilots, but now...
Hashtag blame Ben.
Yeah. now there's a bunch of pilots, a bunch of people playing it. Super common. You're going to see at least one or two of them a night for the most part, and sometimes more. Jared, Noel, how the heck do you beat Jeskai?
So as I mentioned earlier, my way to beat Jeskai is to sort of play either play around their deck constraints, because they've sort of agreed to play a lot of very singularly powerful cards, but they have some weak points in their deck building. They don't play Wraths, and they don't play that many counterspells, so decks that can take advantage of that by not playing very many creatures or playing lots and lots of creatures very quickly can often overrun them.
Yeah, they're kind of the best fair deck, I guess you could say. And, like, I've played Hoof against Jeskai a bunch, and I think it's 50-50. Sometimes they have, you know, the cheap removal to kill your guys and counter your big threat, but sometimes you just kind of go up the curve and you cast, like, a big creature like, what's that guy called? Whisperwood Elemental?
Yeah,
you
know, like, the Manifest that card's
guy?
Hard,
yeah.
Hard for them to beat.
Yeah, like, cards like that, Whisperwood, or, like, obviously Thrun we talked about earlier.
Yeah, decks that can both play a sort of good mid-range game and a combo game are often pretty good against Jeskai. Like, I know Pat likes the pod matchup versus Jeskai,
right,
a reasonable amount.
Yeah, I haven't played that matchup, but...
So, like, any maybe hybrid combo deck that can apply some pressure, force them to start tapping out, and then...
Can also grind out the late game.
Attack with a combo angle, yeah.
Okay.
Is often... probably a pretty good line.
And so this deck's a little bit awkward to attack from a hate cards perspective, right? Because it is just kind of a pile of good cards.
Yeah. So you
don't really want to play the make my cards better than theirs game, because their deck is, that's literally the game plan their deck is enacting.
Yeah.
Is there really anything that, like, you maybe want to edge towards when putting in your decks that you maybe wouldn't otherwise? Or is it more that Jeskai in the format pushes some cards out of your deck? That you would maybe play otherwise?
Potentially, but yet again, their cards are just going to be pretty good, so it just depends on your overall... You want to change your overall strategy if you're trying to beat them. Like, the first time I beat Ben when he first started playing Jeskai some time ago, I think it was last year even, I actually played Aristocrats, and that deck just blanks all the removal spells and goes super wide. And the game felt, like, laughably easy, just because his cards matched up so poorly against mine.
Yeah.
Like, he had a creature equipped with Sword of Fire and Ice and Sword of Feast and Famine for, like, 7 turns, and he didn't come close to winning.
What's the creature? When it dies, it, like, makes a 3-3? The...
Brindle Shout.
Oh, the Shout! Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him the Shout.
Yeah.
I famously got to block with Brindle Shout, trade off with... something of his. Maybe I double blocked and got to trade off with, like, a Seeker of the Way or something. And then I got to Kolaghan's Command, make him discard a card, get back my Brindle Shout, had a 3-3 in play. Yeah. Got him pretty good.
Love it.
And just, like, any card advantage you can get against that deck is.
And then
super
I remember
good.
Once you also built, like, an Esper spin on Jeskai, and you. Like, that was favored in the mirror match, so you're trying to combat that.
Yeah, I built Esper midrange to beat Jeskai, just because burn spells aren't actually very, very good in the mirror, just because the creatures are so good and hard to deal with. So, I preferred to have the black removal spells to pair with the white removal spells, and so I just had more better removal in the mirror, and my creatures were often just as good, if not better. Like, Tassigar and Tombstalker were nuts.
Right.
And getting access to black planeswalkers and the Vindicate effects were super good. I played a bunch of the Vindicates. Like, I played Vindicate, Anguished Unmaking, and Utter End. Just as catch-all removal spells in the mirror to deal with dragons or
have the old
planeswalkers.
Notion Thief.
Yeah, exactly.
Apply
since,
the lotion.
Since Ben always has the Ancestral Visions, we gotta have the lotion.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So Jeskai, you kind of have to shift your deck around a bunch. So I guess I have both of your answers already. You want to play, like, maybe Esper. If you're looking to beat Jeskai, you maybe want to play Pod, something like that. You said Hoof is okay against it. You just felt like it was around 50-50.
Yeah.
Okay.
I try and avoid having too many X1s in my deck. Sometimes you can't, but... They play Arc Trails and they play Electrolyze, so, like, that's where you're really vulnerable. But if you're playing, like, you know, a bunch of Watch Wolves and stuff, then it's a little better against them, I think.
Yeah, they do have some removal spells that aren't great against X3s or X4s, so having as many of those in
your deck toughness is key, like, if you can stick your own Brimaz or something like that.
Yeah, that one's tricky. Super good. And once again, Armageddons are super good in this matchup because their mana is not very good.
Yeah.
So often one Armageddon will do the job against them.
You're making it sound like I should be playing Armageddons tonight.
I mean, the cards were nuts in green-white. They were easily the best cards in my deck every time.
All right, and the difficult question again. You're playing Jeskai. How do you beat the mirror? You can add another color to your deck. I'm willing to accept this as an answer.
I'd drop red, play black.
Okay.
I've seen people just add black and play dark Jeskai.
Yeah, I heard Adam Thorne talking about doing this too. And he was saying that he should just be playing.
Then you get like Kolaghan's Command. And just you don't get too many cards.
I don't even
like,
think Kolaghan's Command is that good in the mirror because it's not that good at killing anything.
Kills Jite.
I mean,
it's like rebuying a guy and making them discard a card.
Yeah, I think that even that is probably what
it's
part of what makes it really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but I think the black removal spells are really what you want.
Yeah. Fatal Push is a big one. New player in the format.
That card's really good. Okay, perfect. Well, Noel, you mentioned Hoof, and this is another one of the decks we want to talk about beating. Again, this deck appeared in the finals of more tournaments than any other deck last year. We collected data on this for the first time, and Hoof, the number one finals appearer.
Probably the deck I've played the most in Highlander.
Perfect.
Close. It's up there.
So now you can reveal the secrets of how to beat Hoof.
How to beat Hoof. It involves killing all of their early mana creatures. That's kind of the best way to combat them. You can play, as we mentioned, Arc Trail. A lot of people are playing Pyroclasms right now, which are really good against it. Just disrupting their dorks, because sometimes they'll keep a hand with only two lands and maybe like six mana worth of mana creatures, and being able to kill those really throws them off their game.
Definitely. You just want to stunt their early growth and try and stop them from getting a fast 6+ mana spell.
Yeah.
And then once you've done that, you force them to play like a more fair, slower mid-range plan, which they can do, but they're not as good at.
It's annoying sometimes when they play some of the good mana rocks, like Mana Crypt or Mana Vault. It's kind of hard to keep them off that, but otherwise, that's kind of the best strategy against them. I know, like, whenever I play turn 2 Raphelos, I pretty much expect it to die, and when it doesn't die, I feel like there's no way I can lose. Like, obviously, that's, like, one of the best creatures.
Definitely have to kill that one.
Yeah.
Priest of Titania often in the same boat.
Is Hoof a kind of combo deck where you're kind of on this invisible clock? Like, with some combo decks, there's sort of, like, this ticking clock where eventually they're going to be able to fight through any amount of interaction you have, right? I sort of think of Flash Hulk. Eventually they're going to assemble a hand with counterspells and discard to combat anything you're doing. Is Hoof like that, or can you kind of stifle it enough to the point where you can eventually just take over the game and have it relatively under control?
They've got a good plan B as well, like having a Thespian Stage Dark Depths, which is how you win almost as many matches as actually just overrunning your opponent. So you have to be able to interact with that too. So if they make Merit Lage and you've got, Fatal Push, you're not going to be able to kill it very well.
No, you need a bounce spell or a white removal spell to combat that avenue as well, which is becoming more and more common for Hoof players. They'll often try to Natural Order early for Primeval Titan to get the Dark Depths combo, as opposed to try to build up for Crater Hoof Natural Order later.
Crop Rotation's a really spicy one because it's instant speed. So I've done a lot of like end step crop rotate and then make the 20/20 and then your opponent's just dead. If you have one of the two lands in play already.
Are the green make your opponent sacrifice a flyer cards on the table here? Are we perhaps clipping some wings?
No. Not going that deep.
For three mana? I think not.
Is there a two mana version?
Don't think so.
Oh, okay, in that case it's definitely not good.
No, maybe it is two mana.
So what kind of decks do you like against Hoof? What do you think is favored?
Storm's pretty good against Hoof because you can't really interact.
Right, it's just fast.
Yeah, Hoof is a deck that's pretty linear. It's not trying to interact with its opponents a whole lot.
You play Ooze, sometimes you draw it.
Or you can tutor for it. And other than that, as Noel said, decks with red sweepers are often better than any other color.
Yeah.
I actually like green. My blue-white control deck against Hoof. Right. You have enough counter spells and enough wraths that I think you can often slow them down enough, and you have some pretty powerful ones like Moat and
also like big red style decks like Wildfire decks are pretty good against that style of deck.
Yeah, Wildfire is often good at clearing Hoof's entire board.
Yeah, it's good against four color pod too. That deck, the big red deck.
Yeah,
just any creature based deck.
I did famously hear about one Benjamin Wheeler getting absolutely barbecued by Scapeshift. Featuring many red removal spells.
Yeah,
did it involve the Tremors, or was that a different match?
I believe it might have. All I know is that he told me he had a turn two, like a hand that kills on turn two, and lost the match, and lost that game.
Jeez. Yeah,
yeah, he like put like six permanents on board on turn one, and he was on the draw, and all of his permanents died on Jonah's turn two.
Yeah. Jonah plays a lot of sweepers in his Scapeshift deck.
Yeah,
yes.
he got very sick of losing to Hoof.
Especially that Jonah's version of Scapeshift, very favored versus
Hoof.
Versus Hoof. He plays a lot of the red sweepers. Yeah, so this is another deck where you can definitely apply hate cards in most colors.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, Mind Sensor's good against Hoof, like, not allowing him to search their library is a key.
Zealous Persecution is really good if you're an aggressive black-white deck.
Yeah.
Toxic Deluge.
I've lost to Mirran Crusader a bunch. Like, it's not really a hate card, it's just a good creature,
yeah,
but it...
Mirran Crusader plus an equipment is often a good way to win.
Yeah.
Tough for them to block. They often have to like try to find like Kozilek Predator or Nest Invader to
it's
get
pretty much
silence.
The only because you should be favored against any like fair creature deck with Hoof, but whenever I lose it's because of Mirran Crusader.
Yeah.
And if you're playing Hoof and you're not the only one, other Hoof players, are we Hunt the Huntering? Is that the mirror breaking tech, or is the goal to go faster, or do you think you can kind of tech your Hoof deck out to maybe play the slow game a little bit better? And
I have actually done a few tech things. I play Polukranos in my Hoof deck for the mirror.
Ooh.
That card seems really good
in
there.
I even tried Master of the Wild Hunt, but that might be
a little
less powerful. But yeah, play Polukranos and I'm trying to think what else. I used to play...
Court of Calling, is that good in the mirror?
I mean, there was this one time where my opponent, he Green Sun for Craterhoof Behemoth, attacked for, super lethal,
so
and I lined up my blocks. It took me about 2 minutes to line up these blocks, and I had to think it all through, and I had to make mana with the Wirewood Symbiote and do all this nonsense, and then I convoked all my creatures in Court of Calling for my own Hoof, wiping my opponent's whole board.
And you had more creatures. So
I had one more creature.
Your creatures grew.
Yeah.
To a larger extent.
There was some crater hoofs running into each other out in the field. The ground shook, but yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sick.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, is this good? The answer?
Yeah.
Almost certainly yes.
But it's one of those mirror matches where, like, obviously winning the die roll is important.
Yeah, you
like
just...
any mirror match.
For the most part, you just want to go fast.
Yeah.
You're a linear deck not trying to interact, so...
Yeah.
When there's two linear decks not trying to interact... Is a race.
Can't tech for the mirror too much, but yeah.
Alright, I have one last one. We didn't put it on the schedule, but we're doing it anyway. Jerry, you played this deck on Monday. What if there's a lot of blue-white control running around?
There's a lot of blue-white control. Flash Hulk, I think, is the stone worst matchup. But if you don't want to play Flash Hulk, which is pretty understandable,
yeah.
I think mono-red is probably pretty good for the most part. And other than that, I think you want to be on, like, a tempo deck. I think tempo is pretty reasonable versus control. You want to try to get a threat in play and protect it as
what sort of weaknesses in the blue-white control, or maybe the blue-red control as well, you could lump these two decks together. What kind of weaknesses in those decks, game plans, are we trying to exploit by playing these tempo decks or these mono-red decks?
They often have a lot of lands and some higher-cost spells, which will get stranded in their hands if you try to condense the game into the first four or five turns.
Yeah.
So by trying to expedite the game and leverage the fact that your spells cost much less than theirs and you're going to be drawing more of those spells, you don't want to let them get to the point where they can cast Consecrated Sphinx, where they can cast Inferno Titan, and you don't want to let them like cast their huge draw spell to negate the fact that they've drawn four more lands than you have.
Yeah, it's kind of like the tempo plan. Like, ideally, you want a good 2-drop, but there's less good 2-drops in tempo than 3-drops. 3-drops are really the sweet spot. So if you can resolve one of your good creatures, like a Brimaz or, you know, like one of the grow creatures, and then you just pass with counter magic up the rest of the game. Like,
yeah, one of the most savage ones I've seen is if you get a Chasm Skulker in play,
yeah,
and the Chasm Skulker kind of grows, but not only does it grow, it also like threatens to leave behind a large army, even if it gets killed
somehow. Of unblockable creatures, yeah, which is a lot of relevant. Time.
Chasm Skulker turns your recall into giant growth as well. It's like a split.
Yeah. Brainstorm too.
Yeah.
One thing you do have to worry about Chasm Skulker against Blue White though is a lot of their removal will exile. So
yep.
It's not a sure thing.
Okay, so if the metagame is full of Blue White and Blue Red control, we're either playing tempo decks, aggressive decks, or something like Flash Hulk, which loves to just get a lot of time and will eventually, like I was talking about earlier. The clock will ring and it will have enough interaction to fight through almost any level of interaction.
Yeah, and any combo deck that can win at instant speed is a big deal because
for blue white.
Yeah, what these control decks want to do is like eventually start tapping out on your end step to cast Factor Fiction or a Vendilion Clique or a big draw spell. And against Flash Hulk and other decks that win at instant speed, you just can't do that because then they'll just win with your Dig Through Time on the stack or your Factor Fiction on the stack.
Yeah, I like trying to combat control with aggro, but that's just the style of player I am. I'm probably 50-50 lifetime against it, and they always say they're terrified when they're playing against aggro, but the game looks like it's in hand for them. But like I know I've played against Nick Picard, who's kind of a control enthusiast in our local meta, and he says he's terrified when he plays against me on aggro, but so I don't know. If you can just get out, if you have a mox draw, that's really key, like dropping, you know, a 3-power guy on turn one, you can clock them pretty quickly.
Definitely, yeah. So. Fast clock under the counter magic is where you want to start.
Like, don't overextend. That's something that you want to jam all these threats, but if they wrath them, you're pretty much dead. You only need to play, like, two creatures and then just ride them to victory and make them react.
Because often they'll need to tap out on their turn to deal with your creatures, and then you just redeploy two more, and then...
Yeah. And that's sort of an interesting, I think, slightly more nuanced approach that is also just something that comes along with having a higher play skill. It's like, as you learn to play Magic better, you learn how to play this matchup more.
Having creature lands is really helpful, too. Because some decks just, you know, don't have a way to kill a Raging Ravine or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
Liam has a storied history of winning games without casting spells, just with creature lands.
I killed Garrett. So many of you will know the story about Garrett killing me with a misdirection when he cast two spells that game when I went for Channel Banefire and he misdirected my Banefire. I did get my revenge, which is I was playing like Bant mid-range and he was playing Grixis Time Vault. This story gets even better because my turn one was I kept like a four-lander on second six that had like a creature land and like some reasonable creature and an elf. And I like cast the elf resolves. And I play this Stirring Wildwood the next turn, and then I never resolve another spell for the rest of the game. And Garrett plays Time Vault on like turn 3 or 4. But then after that, I proceed to attack with a Stirring Wildwood for like 6 turns in a row, and did successfully manage to defeat him with only a creature land. So yeah, those cards certainly powerful. All right, last question about blue-white control, blue-red control. How we break in the mirror? What are the mirror breaking cards? This feels like a matchup where there's got to be some.
Teferi is like a pretty nuts card in the mirror.
You could go like a pretty spicy one might be Geist of Saint Traft if you think there's a lot of control. Mirrors.
Yeah, that's
like,
true. I actually did that back like many years ago, like maybe 6 years ago when there was a lot of control. Like Will was playing all the time and Josh was playing control, and I played Bant control with like Voice of Resurgence and Loxodon Smiter with like. I was still playing Wraths and Counter Spells, but it was just like
threats,
some early threats that were like reasonable against aggro, but like really good against control. And there were several games I won just by going like Loxodon Smiter, then playing like a tempo game. Like I've resolved my threat, and now I'm just going to protect it for the rest of the game.
Cool. So you can choose to go under. Is there some way to go over the control decks, or is that maybe giving up too many points in other matchups?
It's pretty hard. Just
play a bunch
like,
of Planeswalkers, I guess.
Yeah, it's just like they can often find answers to those because they're often sorcery speed. So unless you get to the point where you can cast multiple in a turn, it can be pretty difficult. Control typically beats the rampy style decks.
Well, fair enough. Now that we've covered how to beat sort of the four Well, we didn't really talk about tempo that much, but Jeskai's close enough. Like, we sort of talked about the sort of four basic kind of archetypes and some examples of those decks. Yeah, hopefully you have a better idea of how you sort of beat the best deck. We've had episodes in the past on identifying the metagame. We might talk about it more in the future to help you get to this point, because as I said at the start of the show, this does work with an assumption that you have correctly predicted the metagame, or that you are correct in your assumption about the metagame.
It's hard, though, in Highlander. It's like, it's not like any other format where, you know, there's going to be a set amount of decks.
Yeah.
It's, for the most part, some guys will stick to their guns, but some players, like myself or Jeremy, they'll play a different deck every week because we've got the card pool to do it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to really metagame. Like, our last event was 32 unique decks. Something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, like, and that does happen. But
that's why having well-rounded threats and answers is the way to go.
And you can also lump many of these kind of archetypes together, right?
Yeah.
Like you can say that there has been a lot of aggro, even though maybe there's one Naya, one mono red, one green red, one blue red aggro. Like, you sort of get to lump those together.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we have. Had someone submit to us a deck list.
Yeah, sweet user submitted deck list.
From Anton from Denmark, I believe, though I was going to ask you to check and then you closed the email. But I'm pretty sure it's Denmark.
Yeah, I believe it was Denmark as well.
Anyway, thank you, Anton, for sending us your list.
I am one part Danish, so shout out.
Perfect. So this list is sweet. It is a green-black Relentless Rats deck. And Anton asked whether we sort of had any feedback about it. And we do. So we'll post a link to this list in the description to this video. So there's a couple of things. Firstly, the list is playing 32 lands right now. Obviously, it might get updated by the time you look at it, but currently it's playing 32 lands. You probably want a couple more, especially given that your game plan involves casting 34 Relentless Rats. So I think that's sort of where we would start. No, just taking it back.
Oh, I'm just looking for Thrumming Stone. I thought that was kind of like the spice that
it's in the maybe board over here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think it's a little too expensive.
Yeah.
So I'd like to add some more lands. I'd like to cut some of these more goofy cards. Like Care of Expite, probably just a little too all in. Withering Boon, Word of Command, Dash Hopes.
I actually don't hate Withering Boon of the four of those, but the other three, I think, yeah, you're probably...
I just don't think you're that worried about that many creatures in this deck.
I agree.
Like, you have removal spells. I'd rather just have removal spells.
Yeah.
One card I'd definitely like to see is Chrome Mox. I think that card is pretty nutty.
Yeah, that's true. You've managed to hit most of the other fast mana cards that you're playing, Jeweled Amulet, but...
Yeah, another card I'd like to see is Duress. That's one of the hand attack spells that you've missed out.
When you're in mono black, you can even play like Distress, or like you can play.
I'm not sure you want to be that interactive in this deck.
No. Yeah, not sure.
You got Mind Twist and him.
Okay,
but we do need to give a shout out on this list because it does contain one of the sweetest cards I've seen in Highlander in quite some time. And this is Bloodbond March.
Oh
yeah, this
card is the hotness. Jared, do you want to read it out?
So it's a 4 mana enchantment, 2 black green. Whenever a creature spell is played, each player returns all cards with the same name as that spell from his or her graveyard to play. So this is pretty sick.
Insane.
Yeah, you just get.
Yes, and what's the demon guy that does this too? The cultist or whatever.
Shadowborn Apostle.
Yeah, Shadowborn Apostle. This is like the only two decks where that card would ever apply in this
format. Exactly.
Yeah.
Some other cards that I'm not super high on. Tassiger, I just think.
It's too another impact.
Another rat would be better.
Yeah,
you're not turboing out Tassiger. You've
got the one man army pack rat.
Turn two or three, yeah. Pack rat is nuts in this deck, obviously. Metallic Mimic also obviously very good. Grey Merchant good. Erebos good. I'm not sure, even sure. Deathrite Shaman is it's probably good enough.
I think the salmon is worth playing.
Sure, you can play Deathrite Shaman. I really like Dark Confidant.
Though I think if you're gonna play Dark Confidant, cutting Tassiger makes some sense.
Yeah.
Then again, I played Dark Confidant in my Amrakul deck, so...
Yeah, why not? I wouldn't mind seeing another piece of equipment in this deck.
Yeah.
Like, Jitte could be good here. What are the points like?
Vampiric and...
Mox.
Mox. Is
and
Mind Twist.
Twist
is 7.
And Strip Mine.
Is 9. So maybe a 9-point deck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I love Vamp. You're just, like, down a card, and I think DT is actually better on the curve. Yeah. You'd like rather just DT on two for another rats.
Yeah, I would agree. I think,
and I'm not sure there's anything in this deck that you'd like to be down a card to acquire.
Bloodline March.
Sure.
That card's like stone unbeatable, right? Like if you resolve card, like basically no one's ever winning. Like,
yeah,
assuming the rest
pretty,
of your draw,
it's pretty hard to.
You could play like Toxic Deluge or something, like a good catch-all against creature decks.
Mm, that's actually possible too. Yeah.
Yeah, that might be good.
Because Relentless Rats grow each other, right?
Yeah, they do.
So like, a lot of the times you can maybe like deluge for four when you have five rats in play, and your rats will like
not die,
survive the deluge, and swing in for lethal.
Yeah.
But in general,
this is definitely the best version of this deck I've seen.
Yes, I agree. I've seen a couple people try and build this, and I like this version the most, and we greatly appreciate you submitting your list. And
I think I got 12 Relentless Rats somewhere in my collection. I may have to bring them to the shop once this picks up in popularity.
Nick?
One spoil.
Ooh.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks, Anton, again for sending us your list. If anyone else wants to ship us a list, we will look at it, potentially go over it.
Mm-hmm.
On the next episode, or
Highlander Deck Doctor.
At least give you some feedback via email.
Yep.
So going on to the last segment.
This is the classic, what the heck are we playing?
Yeah.
So typically we let the guests go last, by the way, Noel, so you gotta wait.
Goodbye me.
No, you go last. Jerry, you go first. What are you playing today? We're recording 2 hours before Highlander Tournament starts.
Well, it's currently one hour before I have to be there.
That's fine. We'll build the deck in plenty of time, Jeremy. We've done
yeah,
this morning.
Have not built the deck yet.
It's fine.
I'm going to play Green-Blue Ramp tonight. Got some sweet cards. Going to play Time Stretch, Part the Water Veil, Woodfall Primus.
You play Spring to Mind?
No.
Okay.
I am playing Chefette Monitor, though.
Yeah.
That card's sick.
The Chef Monitor.
Yes.
Sandworm Convergence?
Oh, maybe. The deck isn't actually done yet. It's the option.
I don't think so.
Darn.
Yeah.
I'm playing... So on Monday, I played the hot four-color flash with no white cards. I 3-1'd. Thought the deck was pretty good. I only played 5 points because I have a... I just felt like it, basically. So I played Vampiric, Deep Through Time, and Tainted Pack because everything else is a sorcery other than Ancestral. And I didn't have an Ancestral on hand. So... for today, I cut all the black cards from my deck, so now I'm playing 3 points. I put Mystical Tutor in my deck. I'm basically playing...
Might have to hook you up with some more points.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I have a Time Walk that's not being used.
No, I don't need that card.
It's a sorcery.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
So my deck is playing only at instant speed, and when I say that, I mean there is sort of two exceptions. One is lands, and the other exception is I have a Splinter Twin in my deck, because...
Ooh.
Pestermite and Bounding Krasis are just good creatures on their own, and it's kind of insane not to play Splinter Twin.
I saw the Imsamut some people. That's pretty exciting.
He is dissenting.
And Brig Serac Daddy.
Yeah. Getting people with that one, too. And I didn't have it in my deck for Monday, but today I'm hitting people with the old Mystic Genesis. That's pretty fun. I got to Desertion, both a Staff of Nin and a Metalwork Colossus. On Monday, in the same game, that was good. I Desertioned the Staff of Nin, and then 3 or 4 turns later, I cast Torrential Gearhulk and Desertioned the the Metalwork Colossus.
Boy,
sounds like you're playing Type 4.
Oh, yeah. All right.
That's for another episode.
Ooh, baby. Noel, hit us with it. What are you playing?
Today I'm playing Naya Aggro. Naya for no reason.
I see. What's your reason, man?
I've been off... playing Magic, or at least Highlander, for about 5 months because I've been working out of town. So
and playing in the Pro Tour,
right? And
well, that too, yeah. That kind of just happened by accident, but
yeah.
So I
ended up in Nashville.
Yeah,
thought you might as well go.
Yeah, so I was there for the barbecue, really. But
good.
I really wanted to attack with creatures again. It's my favorite thing to do in Magic, and I love a good Wild in the Cattle. And I haven't played since really Aether Revolt and Amonkhet came out, so there's a lot of good cards that fit into this deck, I believe. It's like New Gideon, Glorybound Initiate.
Are you playing Greenmill Liberator?
Yes, I'm playing the three what I think are good Revolt creatures, which I think a lot of people are adapting now. There's the Death Touch one.
Narnim Renegade.
Yeah, the Renegade. There's the Liberator, which is basically 2 mana 4/3, and then you got if you're playing white, you get Renegade Rallier.
Yeah,
that's right. Which is like, basically, Renegade Rallier is like another Bloodbraid Elf almost in this deck.
I also recommend Solemn Recruit. That card's the nut.
What's that card?
One white, white, double strike, revolt, at end of turn, get a +1/+1 counter.
That card's real good.
Didn't even know that card existed. Oh, all right.
It's real hot.
Sign me up. I am trying the new exert creature that when you exert him, you get like an extra attack stat.
Oh, Combat Celebrate. Combat
Celebrate. Yeah, we're going to give that one a try tonight. It's X1, which, like, I'm probably going to get Arc Trail, but who knows? Maybe I'll just...
if you untap with that card.
If I go that guy into Hellrider, my girlfriend will, like, love me forever.
Yes.
Noel's girlfriend, a strong lover of the old Hellrider.
Yes.
Game day champion on the back of 4 Hellriders.
Yeah, she famously beat Noel in the game day finals with Hellriders.
Yes. Drew all 4. I had a Loxodon.
Are they good in multiples?
I had a Loxodon Smiter with Unflinching Courage. Still lost that game.
Jeez. Yeah. Never lucky.
Oh, boy.
Pretty sweet.
All right.
Well,
that'll pretty much wrap up this episode. Shout out to MTG Cast for hosting our podcast.
Yes, this debauchery.
Yeah.
If you want to get in contact with us, please follow us or contact us at our social media. Again, it'll be in the description as always, but the best number one way to get in contact with us and get the fastest response possible is Twitter. If you tweet at us, I will respond within 12 hours probably. So that's at Can Highlander. The other option is to email us at CanadianHighlanderMTG@gmail.com. If you're sending us deck lists, that or Twitter both work, but yeah.
Yeah.
Feel free to email us, feel free to tweet at us, please do either or. Both those social media links are pretty good.
If you're a big fan of browsing decks on Tapped Out, I put my decks under the name Knowles, Gnolz.
Oh.
So
yeah,
we'll link you
I've
up.
I've got a few decent ones up there.
Can check out Knowles Spicy Brews on Tapped
Out. The Big
Out.
Green Machine, I think, is the fan favorite. it's been a work in progress for my whole duration of my Highlander career.
It stands for playing a big green Eldrazi ramp deck.
Yeah.
None of this Craterhoof nonsense. We're casting Emrakul.
No. I think I did play Decimator Provinces, but it's only because he has Eldrazi subtype. So, like, my
and you can channel him out.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I did that once. Yeah. Turn 2 Decimator attack.
So, anyway, yeah. We'll put Noel's Tapped Out profile in the description as well. So, anyway, thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Cheers.